Hello, readers. I'm Alex.
I'm Kelly.
And this is
the LitJoy Podcast.
Hello, reader. This episode today is brought to you by the Cassandra Clare LitJoy Collection. This collection features many items from our favorite Shadowhunter series. You can head over to litjoycrate.com/Cassie to shop all things Cassandra Clare. Some things include notebooks and replicas and fan art. So it's a fun place to shop if you're a Shadowhunter fan. That's litjoycrate.com/CASSIE. Today's episode is part one of We don't know how many episodes, but we're talking about how to start and keep a book club running.
This is important information.
This was the origin of our romantic relationship
yes.
with books.
Really excited about this one today. I'm curious to see how long-winded I get talking about running and organizing book clubs.
It's our fucking podcast.
My favorite.
You can get as long-winded as you want. We'll just split it into more episodes.
Oh my gosh, you're right. We have the power.
Freedom.
Well, we wanted to wear our new Lunacorn sweaters today. So for those who can't see us, which is probably the majority of you, it does say I'm in my reading era. Uh-huh. And it has a cute little stack of books. And for those who don't know what a Lunacorn is, that's our private membership group.
Yes.
And it's $10 a month. Anyone who joins gets special access to products that we put out just for our Lunacorn membership, as well as you get first access to most everything that goes on sale, especially for our big book drops.
Yeah.
We have such a fun community in there. We run games and polls, and they help us create products, actually, a lot of the time.
And it's true.
The $10 that's spent to be a member goes right into the bank for any of the products that we have on our website.
Yep.
So,
and so if you're on the website and you see something that says member exclusive on it, it means it's only available to our Lunacorn members. And to find out more, you can go to our website and see membership right there at the top. We'll also link to the Lunacorns in the show notes.
Yeah.
So
just thought it was a perfect sweater for today's discussion.
Yes, because we're talking all about our book clubs.
My reading era.
Okay, Kelly, starting a book club. I love this sentence. You're like, if you love books and love to read, then maybe you've considered the idea of starting your own book club.
Yes. So 20 years ago, I had just gotten married. It's my 20-year anniversary this year. And I wanted to dive into something that felt like a community or a group. And there weren't a lot of options, I felt like, at least in the community where I grew up. It was church community things.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. I can't think of anything else. I was like, it was all church-based in the area where we live. And sometimes, you know, people go out to dinner. Like, there wasn't like a dining group or anything.
Right.
And in the neighborhood I grew up in, again, it's a newlywed. It was a brand new area. And it was expanding very quickly. Everyone was either a newlywed or a young family, and everyone's home was new because it was a brand new community. So I was like, let's do something. Let's create something, like a club, you know? And he's like, I'm going to opt out, but you have fun. And, you know, he was busy doing his job, and we just built this house. So I had the idea of wanting to start a book club, but I had never heard of a book club in my area. I'd never been to a book club. I didn't know what it entailed. The general idea was we'll talk about a book once a month.
Yep.
I went and I found somebody who was a part of a book club down. It was like a 30-minute drive for me. And I went to it 2 months in a row and immediately thought, this is what I've been missing. But also, I want to do it different. Mm-hmm. I want to do it. I'm going to say better, but that's a relative term.
You're like better for you. Like you wanted to modify it to fit what you wanted for the book club experience.
Yeah, I think I just saw in the book club that I had attended a couple times, they weren't getting very good attendance. And I could see why. And so not to say I have not learned many lessons along the way about how I could run it better as well. And now we're going on 18 years with my book club.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it off and on in the podcast called Delicious Reads, Always Craving a Good Book. And
so good. Every time.
I love it. And it's been a part of my life for that long now, for 18. And so we're going to kind of talk through, that's like a little bit of my very basic origin story about how I decided to start one. And in the simplest terms, again, 18 years ago, I scrapbooked 20 invitations when scrapbooking was popular.
I miss scrapbooking.
I know. It was an overwhelm of stickers and die cuts. It was great.
Yeah.
And compiled them all, printed out a little like, here's the book I want to pick. Come at this time. Let's just have a discussion around some cookies. It was very simple. And out of the 20, I think I had about 10 or 11 come, which is pretty good turnout.
Yeah.
And they were just people in my neighborhood, a couple of friends I knew, I think, and my mom, right? Mm-hmm. And it's very common, I think, to start a book club with the people that are closest to you. But that's definitely not the only way.
Right.
We'll talk more about that. But and that was the beginning. And after about 3 or 4 months, I had the same problem. I saw a lot of drop-off in my book club. And so that's the other half of the show notes that I'm not going to give away yet. But it's a lot of my tips and things that I've learned along the way to keep a book club healthy and continually running.
Yes.
In a way that is in alignment with your group, that doesn't put too much pressure on any one person, hopefully, and just makes it fun for everybody.
Yeah.
And creates is a really safe place. So, well, let's dive in.
I was like, okay, question number one. How did you decide what kind of book club you wanted to start, Kelly?
It wasn't a conscious thought of like what kind, other than I had some people who wanted it to also apply to the religion that I grew up in. They yeah. wanted it to be approved by our church in the books that we read. And I knew immediately that I was like, that's not what I want, because that would censor a lot of material. And that's not the world of literature. I don't like banned books. And so I just was like, that's not the book club for me. I also chose to not do a co-ed book club on purpose. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be women specifically. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's all kinds. You can have co-ed, you can have male, female. And I've even seen some really darling ones for kids. Book clubs for like middle mm-hmm. graders and junior high kids. And a lot of times parents kind of help with those. But I just think that's a beautiful idea that maybe one day I'll jump into that realm.
Yeah.
So deciding what kind was more of, I want it to be all genres. I want any woman who wants to join to feel welcome to come. And I just want to make sure that we keep a positive energy in the group. Mm-hmm. So who I invited, I was kind of particular with, if that makes sense.
Right.
Great question. Yeah. So the diversity of books came later. Which we can talk about on this question. It's like, what kind do you want to start? And it can be based off the books you read. That can yeah. be the kind of book club you have. Some, I actually, in my, the neighborhood I grew up in, there was a gal who ran a book club when I was young. It's still going. They've been running it for like 30 something years.
Oh my gosh, what an accomplishment.
I know. And they had a whole list of their books, and almost all of them are very, very like, they're classic literature, really, you know, intense literature books. I'm like, what's the word I'm looking for? Just like highbrow. Like,
yes.
You know.
Hoity-toity.
Yes. And so I know, I remember my
maybe
mom.
Maybe pretentious a little bit.
A little. Like yeah. they didn't want to read any fluff or any fun fantasy or YA. And, you know, I get that there are genres people don't enjoy, but I don't understand not even giving it a chance.
That's the one thing I do love about Delicious Reads, that you get a lot of, you get this compliment often, is I love coming to Delicious Reads because it pushes me to read books I wouldn't otherwise pick up on my own. Mm-hmm. And I have discovered more about myself and about books because of that.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it's totally fine to start a book club where you're like, we only read the classics. It's like, totally. Okay, that's totally fine. But it does exhibit some kind of restraints on curiosity. Mm-hmm. Because there's only so many classics that exist. And so
yeah.
I have found that the proof is in the pudding on that one, where people often who are very genre focused have paid you that compliment, where they're yeah. like, I love that at Delicious Reads, I've read 7 books this year that I wouldn't normally, that have expanded my my experience with literature.
Absolutely.
And so I think that that's a good point.
And we've definitely had people on both ends of the spectrum who they're like, I only read classic literature, but this all seems so enticing. And I love the idea of this community and pushing me outside my boundaries. So I want to give it a shot. And people who are like, I only read smut.
Yeah. Like I only read trash, straight trash.
Who's getting it on? What's the point of the book if there's no getting it on? And, you know, yeah. And so I'm like, let me introduce you to this title that's sort of a hybrid. And it's like my challenge always.
Yes. You love that. You love like the yes. challenge of being like, I love that. I love that you love that book. Let me find a book in another genre that makes you feel that way.
Yeah. I just think that there's so many worlds to explore. Why limit yourself?
Yeah.
And so the book club is great because, at least for how I run ours, it's a sampling, right? It's like this poo-poo platter of options.
Poo platter. That's amazing.
So we're going to talk about some of the steps for starting a book club, right?
And the how-tos.
The how-tos. So step one is the question you asked, which is, okay, well, what kind of book club do you want to start? Like, that's the first question I'd ask myself. I just wanted to start one. And I thought, I'll take it from here after the first book. And I just picked one that I thought, it's easy. I wanted to pick one that was like small, that seemed universally acceptable, nothing.
What was your first book?
Okay, again, like was it Twilight? 20 years ago. No, this is way before Twilight. It's the Mitch Albom book, The Five People We Meet in Heaven.
Okay, yes.
So I just remember it being kind of a sweet, introspective story that had a great allegory throughout it. And I was like, this will do, because it's just a cute little pocketbook. And so that was the first book. And immediately after the first meeting, I had a lot of people who had a lot of opinions about how they would like to run my book club.
Interesting. Okay. Why do you think that was?
I think, honestly, everyone was desperate for something like I was at that time. I've often find when I mention I have a book club or I run a book club or I'm in one, people's eyes light up and they're like, oh my gosh, I've like never found someone who runs a book club, or I've never heard of anyone actually having a book club. They get very excited about the prospect of a community, it seems like, especially one for women. And I have to be careful how many times I offer the invitation to come, because
living rooms get full.
We get pretty big.
We can't fit people. Yeah. But why do you think they specifically wanted to tell you how to do it?
Yeah. So because I think they all want it to work for them.
Yeah.
You know, in the way that they would like it ran, just like I did after going twice to somebody else's. And so what I found quickly was I asked the group to help me kind of decide what kind of book club we wanted. Mm-hmm. And that was a great way to kind of to pull them into the discussion, to feel like we all came to it together. And there's more tips on this as we continue on, but yeah. I just think that they wanted to know, what am I getting into? What am I signing up for? They wanted to hear what the expectation was. And I think because it was my first meeting, I was still figuring that out.
For sure.
I didn't have any steps to follow.
I mean, I think we both know what that's like to be in a meeting and we're like, we have this new idea. And they're like, okay, how does this work? What's the standard operating procedures? How do we know if we're doing it well? What's the KPIs? And we're like, well, we just had the idea. we haven't worked all that out yet. So that makes sense.
It was like my first cue to realize like, I need to do a little bit more to help any members that join to see what the picture is on this, to see like the full picture. Because obviously they're like, well, what other books are we reading? And are we always meeting here? And is it always at this time and on this day? Because I have these conflicts. Everyone was trying to figure out how to make it work for them. And so I was like, got it. I need to create consistency and I need to think ahead on what we're doing here. And if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, I can't always accommodate, because I used to try to accommodate everybody.
Right. And I think that's actually like a really common thing to try and accommodate others, probably especially with our upbringing and being women and being accommodating people. But the thing is, what did you find when you put structure around the type of books, or I guess the variety of books and the meeting time? Right here it says, one, decide on the kind of books, but based on the type of book club you have, decide upon and choose a setting. What kind of happened once you chose the setting? Maybe tell me the journey you went on and where you host it.
So that would be my second tip of starting a book club is you have to kind of figure out the logistics, because obviously if you want it to last, there has to be consistency. So we've tried a little bit of everything. Are you going to meet in someone's home? That's a question. Some people feel like that's a burden to their family, or they don't want to have to clean. They don't feel like it's big enough. Like, there's a lot of things that can come up when it comes to either always being in one person's home, switching homes. So sometimes a good option is a public space. I've seen a lot of people do them at restaurants or pubs or bars, just brunch spots, anywhere that they can find that's kind of quiet where they can kind of tuck away. I'm trying to think if I've heard of any other locations.
I think online, right?
Yes. Sorry. That's kind of like its own category.
And that's its own
online and forums. Now there's these apps you can go through. So I think we can talk through some of those as well.
How do you do your book club specifically?
So for me, how it used to run is, knowing me, this makes sense, I just don't want to cause a burden for anybody, right? So I hosted it at my home for 7 years straight. Every single Tuesday, first Tuesday of the month was how we ran it. And I used to move the day around depending on everybody's schedules of what was good for them. And I finally was like, we're just keeping it. It's confusing too many people. So I decided quickly, once a month is good for us. Most book clubs run about once a month.
Yep.
Sometimes people who choose book clubs where they are reading more intense books or longer books, they do them every 6 weeks. And I wanted to keep it always the very first week of the month, same time, same location, everything as much as possible the same.
Yep.
And it worked great. I didn't have children for a while, so it wasn't that big of a deal to have everyone come to my house. Mm-hmm. I really was like, just got to pick up after me and my husband, and that was about it. And I loved that there was consistency with the space, and they knew exactly how to, like, we'll get into this, but we used to decorate over the top for a lot of the book clubs, and everyone kind of knew what to expect when they came over to decorate. And then I had kids, and yeah, that started causing some conflict with having to move half the living room out of the house, you know, with all the baby toys and the swings and the things. And I realized also that many people had offered to host over the years, and I always thought they were just trying to be nice to give me a break. But in reality, so many people were very willing to host, loved hosting, wanted to host. Like, I didn't realize I was withholding that from others, in a sense. I thought it was helping. And maybe I was, but it just became clear that something needed to change. So about 7 years in, we changed how we formatted it. So that's when we started having volunteers sign up every month for whose home we were going to. And that has been such an amazing shift. We've gotten to be in so many of our members' homes and get to see their families, get to see how, like, they live, their comfort zone, and we're in their space. And it just brings out something different in people, I find, when we're in their safe space, mm-hmm, in a good way. It's like this little vulnerable moment where they're like, this is where I live. Mm-hmm. These are my people. These are my memories, and I'm sharing it with you. Mm-hmm. That's how it feels to me. And so, and people love hosting. I actually don't prefer hosting anymore that very often. I must have burned out or something.
Well, you did it like 84 times, so something like that.
I did it a few times.
Yeah.
I remember a few nights my husband was like, I had to put earbuds in and turn it up pretty loud to fall asleep, you know, because like we would just be like 20 women in the room right next to him just howling with laughter over something we read in Twilight. I don't know. But, you know, poor guy. He was a good sport for those many years where every month, you know, we were just this gaggle of women. Yeah. We were just so giggly. I remember several book clubs. And then like I said, there's going to be an evolution to your book club.
Yeah.
Which we'll also talk about. Yeah. But for me, the setting was my house. And we did try restaurants once or twice. Wasn't the same. It seems to be hard to focus.
It's also hard to like get conversations with individual people.
Yeah.
So the way that book club is kind of ran when you're there, just kind of adjacent to setting of book club, is that when people arrive, there is like this mingling that naturally happens in the space of a home, where you kind of chat with this person, and that's how you kind of build community around the book club. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's hard to do that in a restaurant because you can't really get up and mingle. It's kind of like who you're sitting next to is who you chat with during the meal.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it, you know.
I have heard of some book clubs where it's literally they posted somewhere on Facebook and like, anybody want to join? We're going to meet at this restaurant at this time, talk about this book. And I feel like that's a really nice, safe environment.
To meet strangers.
To meet people you don't know. So I'm like, there's some good in it depending on how you do it. But for mine, it was a lot more intimate with my close friends and family and some of my friends, et cetera. And so for us, the homes worked great. But I guess what I'm saying is I get that that is not easily accessible for everybody to have that opportunity. So online is another option, which we've also done during COVID. We had to switch to online and we did it great. It was obviously very different. We're all in our pajamas, just our little squares, our little Brady Bunch squares.
Yes.
And it was fascinating because while we were all stuck in our homes bored, so were authors.
Yeah, so we interviewed some authors.
And we would just reach out. And that's something that I've done multiple times over the years. If you just reach out to authors and just say, hey, we're talking about your book. This is when we would love to Skype in with you. At least 50% of the time, I feel like we get a yes.
Which is surprising. And that's long before Litjoy.
Like,
they didn't know who we were. No. Like, it wasn't like we had relationships. I'm trying to think the authors since I've been in book club. Leigh Bardugo.
Oh my gosh, I can't think. Brody Ashton.
Yes.
Jay Kristoff.
And Amy Kaufman skyped in from Australia.
Tina Fey replied to several of ours when we read her memoir.
That's amazing.
I was so excited.
Did you just die?
Yes.
Also, during COVID, Blake Crouch,
yeah.
Who wrote Recursion and Dark Matter. He Skyped in for like a couple hours. He was really nice.
I just find that the authors, like, that's what lights them up. They're like, yes, I want to talk about my book with readers who are just dying to talk about it with me, basically. Mm-hmm. It does change the conversation a smidge.
Well, yeah, you're not going to be as critical of, like, when you go to read the book.
I hated this part.
Yeah, you're definitely, it's more of an author interview type book club.
We've had so many local authors come as well, which is fun. It's another way to support local authors in your community and to help, especially if they're debuted, to kind of get them launched. We've had people in our book club who have become authors and we've done their book. Mm-hmm. And that's just such a fun celebration when we get to enjoy the book with them, in as we've done with all of our books, which for my book club, how I lure them in is it's a book party. Mm-hmm. Shocker. Are we shocked that LitJoy happened?
Not at all.
I was like, I see what's happening here. This is in the era of like Pinterest had just dropped. Blogging was like taking off. Everyone was doing these over-the-top parties for like their one-year-olds, right? Who are never going to remember a thing.
Yep.
I fell into that category. I did it. But I was like, or what if we did that for a book club? Because that's how I live these books all the time, is it's such an immersive experience. But so many people don't get that that's what it can do for you. So that was like later in my book club career. Started out with a plate of cookies and some lemonade. That's how I started. And quickly started to evolve as I realized that I was losing my membership.
And people, oftentimes, people want the thing. So we'll probably get into this, but I think the thing that you're hinting at there over and over again is kind of this idea that if people have skin in the game, then they participate more. Mm-hmm. It's actually like if you don't give people assignments, they are more likely to fall off and to not want to participate.
That's my fourth tip.
Okay, so we'll get to four. Oh, we'll do third tip. Step three, invite your members.
Yes.
You guys are, I hope you're taking copious notes.
Copious notes. And just to circle back really fast on, you know, once you've decided what type of book club you want, so step two, it's like choose your setting. I just wanted to mention that there are some really good resources. So there's two book club apps that I know about. One is Bookster and one is the Book Clubs app. And those have been a great place for us to communicate during the month to kind of keep, because I can send out emails, but this way all of the book club members can converse and talk about things along the way, leave notes, you know, attach recipes, things like that.
Yes.
So anyways, I'm not promoting them necessarily. I'm just saying those are two I found that work well for book clubs.
Yeah.
Okay. Step three.
Love it.
Invite your members. Sounds so silly, but it's important. Ed.
It's important.
How you do it and who you invite and the size that you have. Something else I've learned, which it's good to know, is that if, let's say I invite 10 people, you get anywhere between 6 and 7 that show. Mm-hmm. So I kind of over-invite on purpose. So like my actual email list for my members is like between 40 and 45 members right now. So it's pretty high. I try not to go past 40. But I know with how it just, every month, there's always things that pop up for people with the rotation of who can come how often, with everything going on in our lives, that we'll probably get about anywhere from 15 to 17. And that's just what I've noticed in my book club. So, and I'd say the ideal size for me, I don't know if there's an ideal size, but I really enjoy when we have just like 6 to 8 people. That's going to be a lot more intimate.
Yes.
And we definitely have had up to 25.
For sure.
And that also has its challenges and its strengths, because while it's a lot of people to accommodate and it can be really busy and noisy, I feel like the discussion can really be enhanced in a different way when you have 20 plus people saying things.
Oh, it's totally different. Like the one thing I love about the small book club is that everybody gets to share their perspective more extensively. So you get to like really dive into people's experiences with the book, the story, where they're related. And with the bigger group, people just, each person shares a little bit less. And so it's fun because you get a wider variety of perspectives on the book when there's a bigger group, which I love. But in the small settings, you get like a more depth for each person. And so I think that's pretty common just for like human interaction. And you see that at book club too. I really enjoy the size of our book club because I feel like even if it's an off month in the summer, where off meaning like everyone's really busy, and it's in the summer and people are traveling and maybe only six people show up, it's nice because we have such an extensive list of members that at least six people can make it, you know? And so it's like the host feels like it's worth it and everything. But yeah.
There are definitely book clubs where it's a closed book club where it's like your eight closest people, however that's decided, and that's it. It's never opened. And it's those eight people basically consistently always show up unless something happens, right? Like sick or something. And that's a different way to run it, which I think is equally as fun, I'm sure. I just haven't run it that way. For me, it's not as much about maintaining relationships with those I'm already close to. It enhances it. But for me, I wanted to open it up to have a place, a safe place for people to come. Because that's how books have always been for me.
Yeah,
it's a safe place for me. And I wanted that community to feel the same. And for me, that was the kind of book club I wanted. I'm like, I want a community. That was what I wanted.
Right. One thing that I think is really interesting about your book club is that the people who go to your book club, only a couple of them do you really ever see outside of book club. So at the beginning of LitJoy, we hired a lot of book club members.
We did.
But, you know, it's kind of all the dust has settled on that a little bit. And I would say that the majority of people at book club, I just see there and nowhere else. And it's I like it because I like that the thing we have in common to talk about is the book, which oftentimes book clubs just turn into like wine clubs.
I hear that a lot.
A lot.
Like my book club's a wine club, really?
Yes. Yeah. And I think for some of you listeners out there, you're like, no, we legitimately want to have people come and read the book and to talk about the book. But there's frustration that when they invite their closest friends, you fall into relationship patterns of we usually get together and drink wine and just talk.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, now I want to introduce a book. And they're like, well, yeah, sure, I'll read a book. And then nobody reads it. And then you end up just drinking wine and chatting.
Yeah.
So the nice thing about setting or creating a book club that's not your closest friends or not the people that you normally spend time with leisurely is that it really brings into focus that book club discussion. And I think that that's why it's so clever how you invite people to your book club because it makes the book the star of the show.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And I didn't realize how prominent that idea was. Thank you for saying that more succinctly about book clubs being an excuse to really just get together with your girlfriends, which has its place too.
I was like, do it. Get together with your girlfriends.
Just have another reason for it.
Yeah.
Just have a wine club. Just do the thing.
For sure.
We started having publishers reach out to me because I was blogging at this point. I don't keep up with it anymore, but if you looked up Delicious Reads, my blog is still out there. And you can see what we would do for these big book parties. And they got to be where I was putting all the content online so anyone who was interested could download the information about how to run the literally exact kind of book club for the book. So I was like, here's the menu. Here are the recipes. Here's everything we did for the quiz. Here is what we did to dress up to theme with the book. You know, here are the activities we did. Here's the answers to it. I'm like, it was a full packet for free. And it started to gain a lot of momentum. And this is when I started wanting to figure out how to monetize it and how I met Alex. You know, we went to the blogging conference. But around that time, right before then, I started having publishers reach out to me. And I was like, what's this about? I wasn't expecting it. And they said, we love your book club because you celebrate the book. And it's not just about drinking wine. And it is hard to find. Like, these are some of the big five. It was like Penguin Random House reached out. And they said, would you be willing to, if we sent you the books for free, would your book club read them and do big posts on them? And I'm like, hell yes. Like, that's awesome. I just didn't realize I had that reach. I just thought it was a cute little book club, you know. And we're a great book club. It was just that it stuck out to the publishers because most book clubs don't make the book the star, at least at the time when we started.
Let's go on to tip number four.
Let's do it.
Organizing your book club, which is not really a step, but it's more like here's a few guidelines to organizing your book club.
So to not be confused with the logistics we've already talked about. When I mean organizing it, it's like the structure within the book club. And I'm just, again, I'll tell you what I do, and then I'll give you suggestions of others, other ways to run it.
Right.
Because there's no right or wrong. I've just tried out most of them. And for me, my community, this is what works. So I struggled with attendance, right? I mentioned that because I was doing everything. I was like, it's so easy to come. Just come to book club. You just got to sit down, read the book. You got to read the book. Let's talk about it. I take care of all the food, the drinks, the house. And I was losing attendance. So as you mentioned, there was no skin in the game. I was like, I need people to help out, to have an investment in this.
Yes.
And so to do that, I was like, okay, well, if I want to have food at my book clubs, which I highly recommend including food, it always enhances the experience greatly. We always try to theme it with the book as much as possible.
Right. So, and speaking of theming food,
which we'll talk about too.
Yeah. Oh, is that in here?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Let's keep going then.
Okay.
Because I was like, I have so many thoughts, like how you name the food.
Because these are like our five tips about starting one. And then I have more five tips about tips I've learned about running one along the way. And food is in there.
So many tips.
So many. It's so, I started creating, in a sense, jobs or positions in the book club to give more people opportunities to have something to sign up for that then they'd feel a little bit more responsibility towards. Mm-hmm. So the positions that I originally started with were a moderator. And the moderator is who's in charge of the book discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly you have to read the book and come prepared in whatever way to discuss that book. It could be as simple as a few questions. You can have a full PowerPoint, slide deck, activity. It's up to you.
I've done the whole gamut.
Yeah.
So depending on the book, sometimes the book speaks to, usually if someone signs up to moderate, they either have a context of the book or they read the book and they read it with the moderation in mind.
Correct.
And so giving them that assignment ahead of time, mm-hmm. I think it creates more powerful discussions. So yeah. I've sometimes done ones where I just have like 10 to 20 thoughtful questions and nothing else, where I was like, this is the most important thing about this book. And then I've had book clubs that have quizzes and full presentations on like the existence of aliens. And like I've gone like way into it. And I'm like, because the book informs the discussion. And so I love the idea of pre-assigning moderators because they can totally focus in on how to bring the book to life.
And again, I have more tips on book selection. That's next.
Perfect.
So organizing it, this is the other position. So I have the moderator. I'm like, you get to moderate the discussion however you see fit. And the next position is the host. So that was the new one I opened up after like 7 years of hosting.
Right.
And people could just sign up to host and be the person whose home we go to. And all that includes is really like know that we're coming. And make sure that we have somewhere to sit and you have like utensils and plates for the food. And people love that one too.
Yes.
Because they were like, I really wanted to know I'm involved, but like, I don't like to have to run a discussion. And
when some people, it's the opposite where they really want to run the discussion, but they're like, I don't have enough room in my house or I don't want to open up my house. And so that voluntary like sign up for the thing. So there's the third one, which is such a you thing, a Delicious Reads specialty is the decorator, right?
So we don't actually do this one anymore, but
it's kind of got lumped into the host because we just started to always have the host kind of sign up for it.
Well, for many years, as I mentioned, when I like found the secret sauce for my book club being like book parties, like over the top, celebrate this book in bringing it to life in any way possible, which I still love doing. We've just settled down a little bit with it.
I think everyone's got careers now.
You know, we've had more kids, careers, like, you know, you, and again, another tip, this comes with being flexible with your book club. And so we had one, an assignment for just someone to decorate because they were so over the top for many years and people love to express themselves that way. They're like, oh my gosh, I read The Night Circus. I'm going to turn your whole house into a tent. And I'm all, go crazy.
You're like, live your bliss.
Yeah. We've had some pretty incredible transformations over the years with different books, especially if they're really themed.
Yes.
All of our like Halloween books, always memorable experiences, very over the top. We did like an Agatha Christie book once, and then there were none. And that was so fun because the host came prepared with a whole murder mystery that no one knew about. And it was a whole, like people were dropping off in different rooms and we had to follow clues. And it was just memorable because it was an experience.
Right.
It was like going through a whole like escape room. in my house. So we've done murder mystery dinners. We've done one.
Actually, I think it was the murderer in one of those.
We've had a few, yeah.
Yeah, no, but like I think I was the murderer. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, and I was like, be cool. And I'm not good at espionage and like, I'm not good at like being cool.
I am not either.
I was like, tell me, they would be like, ask me a question. I'd be like,
don't do it.
Yes.
It's just so much fun to find creative outlets.
Oh, yeah. People love it.
And so for decor, that was, like I said.
Decor is probably, I always signed up to decorate when I was the host because I do love the decorating part. And to kind of give an example of how it can impact the effect of the book, there are a few books that I have hosted where I really wanted to create a safe space to talk about the book because the book was important. I felt like very important. So one of them that comes to mind is The Nightingale. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite book, which is, oddly enough, a historical fiction from World War II, which is just like not my go-to genre. But I feel like that book was a spiritual experience for me. And so the decorations, I really leaned into like a lot of florals. I just went to the grocery store and I'm good at doing floral arrangements. So I did that. And I wanted it to feel like very like feminine and warm and welcome. So I just did these kind of like express my Libra rising, right?
Yeah.
But I also put a dead tree branch in the middle of my room or in the middle of the table with a tin of ribbons to tie to the dead tree branch because that was a moment from the book where there was a tree in the book that everybody tied ribbons to that signified something important. And so it was a moment where everyone in the book club could act out part of the book and it brings it to life. And it helps, I think, them mentally like tune in to that reading experience they had. Mm-hmm. Another one where the decorating was, I think, really impactful was when I did Come As You Are. Mm-hmm. And by Emily Nagasaki.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. And Dr. Emily. And Come As You Are is all about women's sexuality. Mm-hmm. And just that book, I cannot overemphasize how important that book was to so many Mormon women and formerly Mormon women and their experience. Because sexuality and especially women's sexual power is very diminished in that culture in so many ways.
Yeah.
And I think we've both experienced that in different ways, but not too different, right? And so having a mixed company of people at different parts of their sexual and spiritual journey and creating space in my house, I knew that there had to be a little bit of an icebreaker in that experience.
Yeah.
And so I tried to incorporate that into the decorations. And two things I did is I had like a little chalkboard that was like anonymously write any question, discussion question you have and put it into this jar. So the anonymity, I think, created safety where people could ask the thing or say the thing without having to speak up.
Exactly.
And then that was kind of part of the decor. And of course, I was like, here's flowers and ribbons and bows around it too. And then the other thing I did was I took streamers and I made the streamers look like the opening of a vagina with like a balloon at the top.
Yes.
And then it was like, well, come, like C-U-M.
It was very clever.
And I was like, if we just get the like awkward giggles out of the way right here, I think it creates space.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, decoration might feel burdensome, but sometimes it's the perfect expression for a member of your book club to contribute to environment in a positive way.
Absolutely.
And so I'm like, the host and decorator have kind of merged because naturally people just started to want to do both. Most of the hosts were already signing up to decorate.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't discount it from being like a part of your book club. Like you're in charge of the floral arrangement or, you know, that kind of a thing.
We just didn't need as many literal sign-up options anymore, but it definitely still has its place in our book club. And it's much more just organic now, I would say.
For
some
sure.
books, just they're really not much to decorate for.
For sure.
Like, it's not the point of the book.
Yeah, when, like, we did Illuminate Files, I was in charge of decorating, and I was like, okay, how do I decorate this, like,
space
war tribunal apocalypse genocide? And I'm like, how about? And I just like turned down all the lights and put on like a lot of like space lights.
Yeah.
And then there was like kind of like a worm in the book. And so I did like balloons that looked like worms. And I was like, yay.
It reminds me, we read a horror book literally one time in 18 years of our book club.
That's awesome.
And we read one. It's called Shudder by Courtney Almeida. She was a local author.
Yes.
And I had to put, I put black lights everywhere in the house. And we turned off everything else and just had this black light look like a club from the outside. And we, everything was dramatic and blood was involved and everyone wrote down like their deepest fears and we'd like a little photo shoot.
That's so dark.
Yeah. And then we played like this game, like werewolves game.
Yeah.
Anyways, we finally talked about the book too, but it was an interesting experience because I learned that my book club is not into horror, which is fine.
You're like, noted.
We'll stick with the gothic side. But it just transforms the second you walk through the door.
Yeah.
Right? It's like going to Disneyland. You walk past those gates of Disneyland.
And you're like, experience.
And you're like, and I'm in it.
Yes.
And that is what the decoration power is.
I feel like you channeled a lot of that decoration power actually into your products at Lidjoy.
That would be accurate.
I feel like your Magical Crate series was just like, I had such a pivotal reading experience with this series.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, people want to be there. They want to be immersed in the book. Yeah. And we do that a lot with our products. It's like,
yeah.
What does it feel like to be a part of this book?
I just remember so many times along the years saying, gosh, I wish I could get paid to run this book club because it's my passion.
And you were just literally waiting for me to grow up and graduate high school, you know, and college.
It's all right. No. It's just like the fates align, the universe gets there. You know, it all worked out. But I knew when I was running my book club that it was leading to something else. I just never knew what that was. I thought maybe a certain person, maybe it's going to be an opportunity, maybe I don't know. I just didn't know. I just always felt it. And then when you and I met to talk about blogging and books and, you know, that whole story that we'll eventually podcast.
Eventually we'll tell you.
It just made so much sense because like I was ready and waiting and I felt like at the time you were as well.
I think so. I think I was developing a bunch of skills to make me capable of running a startup, just like the hustle. Like I needed to learn photography. I needed to, you know, like there was just a few things that I needed to do a ton of writing because I did all of our photography and copy for like the first few years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we did like a
lot. We did a lot of stuff.
We bootstrapped a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just that I think that energy that we brought to book club got redirected into Lidjoy a lot.
Yeah.
But the thing that's been interesting is like we continue to have book club. Because like, it's not like it just replaced it. It's like now it just looks a little different. So we're kind of nearing the end of this episode. I want to get all the way through tip 4 in organizing your book club.
I just realized I was like, we have barely touched this one.
I know.
So we just talked about some of the positions and we'll talk more about food because I personally like to have a full meal with every book club.
Yes.
And we just have a sign up on, we use Evite. You can use Sign Up Genius. There's lots of things out there. Where I send out the invitation and you can sign up for food there. And so everyone knows who's bringing what.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another way that people can participate. Because so many people want to show that they're a part of it and to give their contribution. And that's why I like to have so many offerings. Everyone's just going to do it differently. And even if they're like, I'm not comfortable doing any of those things, but I come and I share.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
They're like, I will bring my Brussels sprouts every time. I've signed up for Brussels sprouts like 80 times. It's the only thing I can cook.
It's my love language. So here are some other ideas for other ways you can organize your book club. One is to have a pre-book club meeting, which is like, let's say I had my very first meeting or even right before, where you gather everyone together that you want to come and you discuss how you want to organize it. So it's very much just like a democracy in that way of discussing, okay, do we want anyone to be in charge of this thing? How do we want to run it? How many books a year? Like how many in advance? Like it's a full discussion with all your members. That's one way you can do it. And I think I started that way and it gets tricky. And I've seen many book clubs start like this and then they fizzle out because no one is in charge.
Yep.
They kind of keep hoping somebody will pick it up.
Someone has to be steering the boat.
This is my number one tip is, I don't know how I landed on this term, but pick a book club president.
Because that's what you are. I'm just like, Kelly is the book club president.
I am the president.
She has a hard time saying it, so she always says it in Spanish. El presidente.
I just like the way it sounds.
It is more fancy.
It was never meant to be like, I am the president of this book club. It just became
Kelly
a term.
Kelly is not power hungry. You are the president of the book club. It's your book club.
I know, I'm just saying.
And you know what? Here's the thing. Here's the thing about the president of the book club. It needs to be someone who genuinely wants to read the book every month and generates energy around reading that book. Like, to be the president, I would not be a great book club president, in that I just know it's not my genius. Like, I don't think I can generate energy around something like the book club, but I would be like an avid participant every month, which is a great structure. And I'm like, if you feel yourself volunteering to be the president just because no one else does, it probably you won't have the gumption behind it, because it requires like a real sense of love of the book club setting.
Yeah.
All the time.
And there's logistics involved. Like, yes. And it's, there's definitely months in the year where it falls heavier for me than other months. And that's just how I've set it up. But me being the president, and I'm the one in charge of sending out the invitations every month, that doesn't actually happen anymore. I actually assign that now to whoever's moderating.
But you have to get it all set up.
But I have to get it set up. I have the system. I put everyone in. So all their emails I collect to make sure, you know, their phone numbers, whatever it is, to make sure that they have communication every month is like on me. I also choose to put together our book club bookmark for the year. We'll talk about this in a second.
In the next episode.
In the next. About selecting your books. We put the bookmark together with all the information. We also do several different parties throughout the year as like fun celebrations. We always do like a very themed Christmas party. We do something themed for Halloween. We used to do a couples book club every summer. We used to do an annual tea party. Like, we try lots of fun things.
Yeah. And like, if the thing can be fun, and if it's no longer fun, I'm like, it's also okay to like kind of mix it up. But the president is always kind of like, I feel like you have this gift. You use your natural gift of delegation, which you're very good at recognizing like the strengths in others and delegating those strengths to others.
Thanks.
And you also do this thing where, like, if things aren't working, you don't hold on so tight to them to try and force, like, you don't try and make fetch happen. And so that's been, like, that flexibility has been really nice, because a group, specifically a group of women who are very busy, making it accessible to them sometimes means just kind of switching it up.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
Like a themed Mad Hatter tea party, everyone decked out. Like, there's been book clubs where we've all gone and rented costumes.
Yes.
And we don't do that as much anymore, because that's not where everyone's at.
Yeah.
And so the president is really, their role is, I think, to kind of keep a pulse or to surround themselves with people who can help keep a pulse on that.
Yeah, it's a good point. It definitely, the needs of your book club will change over the years, clearly. I was going to say the last suggestion is if you want to rotate who is the president.
Yeah.
Talk about like knighting somebody else, and you get to have the role for the next year, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that way everyone kind of gets to wear that mantle for a little while. And if no one person is like, me, pick me, that's another great way to kind of just give everyone the opportunity.
Yeah.
So those are the suggestions for organizing your book club.
And I will just add one more. We do have someone who's like the conch shell of the book club that gets everyone to shut up. Okay. So we have a member of the book club who has like a bell.
Yeah.
Literally, because we're all chatty Cathys.
Yeah.
And just...
And so it's like the bell ringer for when we need to actually have the discussion.
Right. Because we'll like come, we'll do the like the dinner, the meet and greet, the dinner.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, we got to talk about this book. And but everyone wants to just talk for all like all night. And so it's like ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. So yeah, it's great. There's a spot for everybody.
There's a place for you. So the final tip in organizing your book club or getting it going is selecting your books. And I do have a feeling that when it comes to writing a book club, there's probably people who have the most opinions about this one.
Yes.
I feel like every year we get a few people who are very salty about books.
Yes.
And I'm always like, that's fine, but I'm right.
You know, this is where I find there's a delicate balance in choosing books. So that's why I have several suggestions, and I've tried almost all of them.
Okay.
And you'll see what we have landed on. But the first option, which I mentioned almost when I just started my book club, is every month it's one member's choice to pick a book. That was how the book club ran it that I joined for a couple months, is they rotated who got to pick the book. But you only get about a month out that way.
Yes.
Which is good in the sense that, okay, this is really hot and popular right now. Let's read this one. Like, you can easily pivot on what kind of book you want to read depending on what's happening in pop culture. And depending on, let's say y'all saw like a new movie came out and there's a book based on it. Like, there's flexibility there. It's tricky because you can't really get ahead on the reading if it's month to month.
Right. You can't read a couple books ahead if you are like going on vacation or
pick and choose. Yeah. And you're obviously at the will of one person's choice. Again, good and bad, whoever you invite to your book club. And so that you have to be good sports about whatever book they pick. And that's where I get nervous with hurt feelings, because let's say everyone went along with the book someone picked and then nobody wants to read it. And so nobody comes to the book club. Like, there can be that.
Yes.
Unless there's a rule around that. I don't know. It just...
It makes it trickier, because I think some people are actually not in their genius mm-hmm. in picking a good book club book. Because a good book club book versus like a good book I read by myself are not always the same book.
Yeah.
And so if somebody, there is potential in a group of people in a book club that some of them will not be good at that. And so mm-hmm. there's like the pressure there. We're like, well, I want to contribute, but some people in our book club don't want to pick.
Oh, they hate picking. Like, there's some people who are like, I don't put that pressure on me.
They're like, I'll go in and vote, like, but I'm not going, like, don't put me in charge of it. And so mm-hmm. it's nice to create some flex. That is a kind of a con of having it the month to month.
I mean, the good side is that it can push other people outside their comfort zone in picking a book that, like, I never would have picked that one. Mm-hmm. As long as they're good sports and they read it, it's kind of how I feel. Mm-hmm. But we struggled with that. So then I switched and I was like, cool, let's pick them quarterly. You know, so then we tried to pick them three at a time.
Got
And then it became more like a discussion versus like each person got a pick. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to every 6 months. We'd pick 6 months in advance. And then I was literally like throwing my hands in the air. I'm like, why the freak are we not just picking a whole year out? Like we have a list. We have plenty of books we want to read. Let's just do the year. Yes. So over about the course of a year and a half, we went from book a month to just picking the whole year out.
Yep.
But some other options you can, which we mentioned is freestyling, or, you know, each member gets to pick a book. Each member gets to pick every month, or you can freestyle it in that every month you still pick a book at the book club discussion, but everyone gets to join the discussion. Mm-hmm. You pick together, which let me tell you, that's tricky.
I was like, I want to watch that happen, but I don't want to participate.
It's kind of a nightmare because there was mumbling and people being like, I wouldn't want to read that, but they didn't speak up, you know, and someone else is like, well, I'm just throwing something out there. And it caused more stress than it was worth, in my opinion.
It like kind of takes away from the spirit of focusing on the books.
Another option is you make a master list of book suggestions, which we'd kind of done. And then each month you just pick one, or you guys, you know, you nominate one that's already, in a sense, pre-approved from the list.
Okay.
So, and you obviously these all have variations, but the one I did is where I mentioned pick a quarter or half a year or the full year.
Yes.
So I feel like there's so much benefit to picking out the entire year because
me too.
One, I got to make a cute little bookmark with all the books.
Very cute.
And all the information. But two, people can pick and choose the books that they for sure want to read. Some people in my book club only come four times a year. Mm-hmm. Like they kind of make that choice. People can read up in advance. They can read at their leisure. They can get ahead. They can, you know, really pick and choose the one they want to run.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of options when you pick that far in advance. Occasionally, we'll pick a book that I was like, I wish we could have picked a different one or swapped it out.
Where we have. Dang it.
Yeah.
But no, here's the thing. I like have to tell like the listener, reader out there, dear reader. Kelly, you've developed a really smart system for picking books. And I think it's, you know, 20 years of trial and error.
Oh my gosh.
18 years. But the way that Kelly's book club does book selection is we all go in and we use Goodreads specifically for the beginning.
Yes.
And on Goodreads, you create a list on Goodreads, and anyone in the book club can nominate books to be put on, can add books to the list. Mm-hmm. It's like a bookshelf. It's like everybody brings the books they want and they put them there. Like, and sometimes we have like 30 on there. Sometimes it's like 60. Like it's just everyone in book club gets the opportunity to nominate. And then everyone can go in and vote. After the nominations are in, everyone can go vote. And you vote for, it's kind of like the top 15 to 20, I think, get brought in. Well, actually, probably more like 25. We talk like the top 25, and Kelly creates subcategories for them, which is like just very dedicated. So she'll be like, okay, there's like, you know, five classics we're looking at. Let's put those all into one survey on one Facebook post, and we vote for one to two.
Yeah.
And then all of the historical fictions, all of the fantasy, all of the romance, and she'll group by all of the middle grade, mm-hmm. and you'll group by genre and also by holiday. So we try and have a spooky one for Halloween and like a Christmassy one
kind
for
of wintry
Christmas one. And there'll be on our Facebook group, you can vote for like your top one from that category. Because mm-hmm. An example of why this is helpful is middle grades probably would like never make the top 12. But challenging us to read middle grades has come with some of the most beautiful book club discussions and also some of our favorite reads.
Yeah.
It's just a very peripheral genre for our group of women for some reason.
Yeah.
And so on that Facebook group, the sub voting for the books has been, it's been a great way to continue to keep the diversity of genres mm-hmm. while also allowing every single book club member to have a say.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's brilliant. It hasn't always been that way in book club for yeah. like, sometimes it's like discussions and we talk about them and people are like giving sales pitches basically yeah. about a book. And I like sales pitched a few books hard and they turned out to be amazing. You're welcome, everyone.
You're welcome.
but I love the new format because yeah. it also adds to my TBR list. So every yeah. time we do that, 12 books end up on the bookmark for next year's book club. Mm-hmm. But then probably another 12 I end up reading anyways.
Yeah.
And so it's like a great way to collect reading recommendations too.
And I'm like, tip number one, if I hadn't already said this, get a Goodreads account, which yeah. is like a social media account for book lovers. Yes. There's not a lot of conversation, but you can absolutely have forum discussions. It's where you can save books to be read, books you've read, your star ratings, you can leave reviews. It's the best way for me to build my to be read list.
Yeah. It just helps me remember the books I've yeah. read and set reading challenges for myself. And
I personally feel like it's one of the best places to create a poll or a list for books to choose for your book club, because mm-hmm. if they have any information or any questions about it, they just literally click on it and it takes them to all the information. Yep.
And I go and read all the synopses. Yeah.
You can see the star rating, you can see the synopsis, mm-hmm. read reviews. And so once I figured that out, that that was an option, I was like, yes, because picking books is always the most controversial thing. At least it was in mine.
People are spicy about it.
Either people who don't like to speak up or speak loud never felt heard, or people who speak up were feeling a little bit villainized, I feel like, because people were getting a little disgruntled that we always read those books that they picked. And I was like, I need a better system. So
you're like, y'all need to just like pull yourselves together. It's a book club.
Who knew?
But I'm like, I love it. Like people are passionate about books.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's kind of the whole point.
Yeah. So it works for us. We have the list there. I categorize them after that. And again, that's how we run it. I like to pick from every genre as possible, at least the ones that got put in to be voted on.
Yeah.
Like we haven't always had a romance selection, but there was this year. And yes. like thrillers, we don't always have that one, but
we have a couple book club members that are new that only read thriller. And so I was like, this whole list is scary.
So, and then, yeah, we just build the list from there. And I just kind of, I'm flexible with it. So we do have a private Facebook group for the club is what Alex is referring to. And all I do every year is I make a little quick compilation of the book covers through like a simple app on my phone and just post them up there and just make it a poll. And I just say, pick your number one choice out of all these books.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes it's two, you know, but.
And you can, yeah. And like you could do it on Facebook. You can also just do it on like a Google Forms.
Yeah.
Like you could have everybody just text it in depending on the size of your book club. It's really like just allowing them to have broader, mm-hmm. like generate a list of the books and then to narrow it down and vote. I think it just, it takes away a lot of that in-person frustration around like, what are we going to read next? And it takes away a lot of like the individual having to come up with it too.
Because it's a very personal thing for people when they mm-hmm. recommend books, especially if they've already read it and love it.
Yes.
And then it doesn't get picked. There's always that like, feeling.
Yes.
I've had it.
Yeah.
But when it's in this format, it tends to take away the sting.
Yeah.
Because it's not personal. They're just reading about what interests them, right? And it's not who said it and who brought it up. You really can't even see that on who voted for the books, things like that on Goodreads. So I like it. It's so far it's been working well and I'm just keeping it going. So picking a year in
roll
advance and doing it very anonymously almost in the voting system mm-hmm. has worked well for us.
And then also, we have a note on here, which I think is really helpful. If you're like, where the hell do I start? Like, what book club, what books do I even read? We did record 3 episodes about this, yes. about the ones that we've had the most successful book clubs around
mm-hmm.
In episodes 12, 13, and 16, where we give 21 different book recommendations. Mm-hmm. So that's at least a year, almost 2 years.
There you go.
But that'll kind of be some books that you can draw from if you want really good discussions.
I believe it's the Book Club Books for Deep and Interesting Conversation. That's the title.
It just rolls right off the tongue.
It's just easy peasy. but yeah, we did a three-parter on that because we've had so many great discussions over, you know, 18 years worth. So there you guys go. That'll get you started. And awesome. That's part one of tips part for one. Running a book club. Yes. And part two will be keeping it running.
Thank you, readers, for listening to this episode of the LitDry Podcast. Please make sure to rate and review us so that we can continue to do these really fun episodes.
And like a good book, recommend us to your friends.